time and sweat and tears, right, have went into this. I want to first acknowledge a couple of people. First of all, our youth and family minister, Justin Taylor, and also our secretary, Mandy. They have done a tremendous amount of work. Also, Steve Parker, one of our elders. Also, Lori Santine has done some proofing for a lot of the text that's in here. We're excited about this. We've been wanting to do this for quite some time. Our old website, it's the same address, but the old website was kind of down and not being updated. But now we've got a new look, new design. You can see the scroll page there at the center that people can get information there. There's a welcome video from yours truly as well. But up at the top here, some of the links you might want to click on if you want to know about us, about times and location, about what we believe. Frequently asked questions that sometimes people want to know. What kind of church is your church? Well, we ought to be able to point them to some things that we believe and what they can expect. There's also a link on our leaders, so they can see our elders, our deacons, our ministers, the staff. As well, they can read a bio if they want to know a little bit more about us. On the student movement, of course, with our youth and family ministry, they can find some links there about different things. The Bible class, of course, there's a greeting video from our student minister, Justin Taylor. Kids for Christ, of course, the ministries with our children, and of course, our children's minister, Misty Babitsky, has a welcome video on there as well. Also, one of our elders, Steve Parker, he gets a video too on behalf of the elders and the church as well. So a lot of cool things. Sermon archive. Mandy has went back, our secretary, and she has gotten the sermons from the past couple of years. Also, all of the sermon slides and notes that I have in the sermons, or Justin and his sermons, you can click on those and pull those up as well when you listen to them. Just a really cool thing. And of course, if you want some good sleep and good nap time, you can pull that up, especially sermon archive. And the weekly bulletin will be updated each week, so folks can get on here. If you're gone and you want to know what's going on, this will also be a web-friendly version. You won't have any of your address and phone number and that sort of thing. We'll try to make that sensitive to being on the web. Also, prayer requests. You can click on if you have a prayer request in the congregation. This will be checked each week, several times each week. Leave us that information. You can point folks to this as well, who maybe you've encouraged and are inviting to church. Let me tell you, if you invite someone to our church to visit Crosstown, the very first thing they're going to do, what do you do if you want to go to a business or if you want to check out something, a restaurant, doesn't matter. You go to what? You go to the website. And so we hope this will be a tool and a resource. It's also on mobile, so on your phones and your tablets, you can get this on your mobile devices. Connect with this and like this and link this on social media, Facebook. It'd be cool to see some of this on Facebook and say, hey, check out our new website for the Crosstown Church. Again, we hope this will be a tool and a resource to further the kingdom and the work that we do here at Crosstown. So we're excited about that. And again, I hope you appreciate those that have put the time and effort into that, because that was a lot of work. A lot of man hours have went into that. Okay, as we think about 2015, of course, resolutions, right? How are you already? This is day 4 of the new year. Have you made some resolutions? No, I don't do resolutions, somebody says. I just kind of keep doing what I've always done and get the same results, right? Isn't that called the definition of insanity? Okay. I hope that you take a new year. I like a new year. I like a new beginning, a fresh start. To improve myself in some areas of my life. I hope you take advantage of the turning of a new calendar each year. And you know, I was reading an online article this past week as it was talking about some of the categories that folks make resolutions in life, how they kind of fall within the category of health, of money, of time, and people. Those are kind of the areas that people, the large categories, you know, we want to feel good, we want to have more money, We want to spend time with the folks that we love and care about. The article went on to say that the most popular resolutions over the past 30 years consistently contain the same things in roughly the same order. Lose weight, get fit, quit smoking, get organized, enjoy life more, learn something new, get out of debt, spend time with family, help others. And those are wonderful resolutions. I've got some of those in my personal goals for this year. But as I was reading that list and thinking about that list, did you notice a very obvious, glaring, something that was missing there? Spiritual resolution. As much as I hope we make some resolutions when it comes to our personal life, when it comes to our finances maybe, or our health, or our diet, or maybe we want to learn a new skill, and maybe we want to get better organized, maybe we want to get out and serve in the community, that's wonderful. But what about those spiritual goals and resolutions? Now, John makes in his letter towards the end of the New Testament, 3 John. Go ahead and turn over there. Do you have your Bibles, church? Let's hold up our Bibles. You know the drill now. Hold up the Scriptures. We want to hear God's Word this morning. Turn over to the end of the New Testament, the little letter of 3 John. John wrote a couple of short little, it's really not a letter, it's they're really postcards. And here in 3 John, these 15 verses, notice what he says here in 3 John as he's praying for his dear friend Gaius. And he has this prayer here and he has this statement. Notice in 3 John verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. You know, that kind of sounds like some of those goals and resolutions. You know, we hope that we have better health. Maybe we're prospering financially. And those are wonderful things. I pray for those things. I hope that you enjoy those things as well. But you notice what he says? The key though, even as your soul prospers or is getting along well. I hope that the most important thing that you think about with this new year is that you have some spiritual goals, that you have spiritual prosperity. I hope that you make more money this year. I hope that you have better health. I hope that you enjoy more time with friends and family and you get better organized and all the things you want to do. But above everything else, I hope that you're working towards spiritual prosperity in your soul, in your life. And I just want to be real practical and encourage you this morning with some suggestions, some ideas for some personal spiritual goals and growth. And none of the things I'm saying this morning are new. You have heard these things. I've preached on these things. You're going to hear them pretty regularly each year, I imagine, around this time of the year. Because they're things that God gives us in His Word that can help us and grow spiritually. And so let me just give you these here. And the first one is, if you want to grow this year, I think if you want to have your soul prospering, why don't you give yourself to the Word of God every single day? You know, we think about those Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. You know, they were given that ultimate compliment by the Holy Spirit, that they were more noble than those of the Thessalonians in character, for they received the word with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures daily. You notice that? Daily, to see whether the things Paul was saying was true. Daily exposure to the Word of God. You know, this past year, this past fall, we read through a challenge called the New Testament Challenge. Reading through the New Testament in 9 weeks. A lot of you took that challenge. Some of you completed the challenge. Some of you fell behind, and that's okay because any reading of God's Word is what? Good reading. And whether you finished all of the New Testament or half of it or some of it or barely any of it, we believe good reading any reading is good reading. Well, we have a new challenge here, and this one's going to be a lot longer because reading the Old Testament, if you'll just take your Bible and look at that section from Genesis through Malachi and look at that section from Matthew through Revelation, the Old Testament's a lot bigger. And so we have set up this New Testament challenge. Several have asked about doing something like this, and so we wanted to put this out here. Once again, we have bookmarks that we'll have out each 9 weeks we'll put out a new bookmark. And we have a sheet as well. We'll put out these every 9 weeks. We're going to get this on our website as well, the full schedule that you can have as well as here on the sheets. But we hope that you'll take this challenge as well to expose yourself once again to the Word of God. We have each week, I have some themes put together. We have some guiding questions in the bulletin that we'll have each week as well that can kind of help you along in your personal study. Now, I want to say this. You need to hear me now this morning, especially when we try to think about the Bible reading, especially something like this Old Testament challenge. When it comes to goals, you need to set manageable goals. That's so critical in life. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're talking about losing weight. And, you know, many folks will set out there and they'll say, I want to lose 40 pounds. I want to lose 50 pounds. Yeah, right. Good luck with that. Now, you may be saying, hey, my neighbor, my uncle, my aunt did that. Yeah, that's pretty rare. Most folks, if you're like me, I want to get under 200 pounds. I need to lose about 14 good pounds and I can get there. Set something manageable that you can do. And when it comes to the Bible and reading God's Word, especially this Old Testament challenge now, for some of you, you know, if you only got a couple of weeks into the New Testament, the Old Testament, you'll be swamped. You won't even get out of Genesis. And so set some manageable goals. I hope that every one of us will try to read through the Bible, read through this Old Testament. But if you just read one chapter a day, that's great. If you just make one chapter a week, that's great. By the way, on the schedule I've given you, and you can thank me later, I've included a section of the wisdom literature so that when you're buried down in the book of Leviticus, you're going to be reading, yes, some of Leviticus, of course, each day or during that time of the schedule. But every day of this schedule, you're going to read something out of the wisdom literature section. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So maybe that's all you want to start with, is just read through the book of Psalms. One chapter for the first several weeks here. Or maybe just Proverbs. Or you pick something. You want to read through Genesis. Expose yourself every day to the Word of God. Maybe you want to start back and do the New Testament. Just take one chapter a day. Start with Matthew 1, and that'll take you about more than half the year. But expose yourself to the Word of God, but make some manageable goals that you can do in reading God's Word every day. Let me give you a second one here. Set some goals when it comes to your prayer life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica to pray continually. And that what he's saying there is, he's not saying we have to literally have 24 hours, 7 days a week in prayer, constant prayer. But he's saying there's never a time or a season when we should not be praying. There's never a time in our life, a circumstance in our life, a period in our life where we should stop praying. So we need to be regular folks who are praying. Well, how about your prayer life? Could your prayer life improve a little bit this morning? I know if you're like me, you can be honest. I need to improve a little bit in my prayer life. I want to be more a passionate prayer. I want to be focused in my prayers. I don't want to just be kind of here and there and everywhere. And, you know, a lot of folks, we do the flash praying sometimes. You know what I mean? Someone will say, will you pray for me or will you pray for this situation? And, okay, yeah, I'll say a quick prayer. That's fine. But that's not a good way to have our whole prayer life. It's just kind of on the fly. We need to think about regular habits when it comes to our prayer life. You remember the book of Daniel? Remember Daniel's prayer life habits? He prayed so regularly, his habits. You remember, even his enemies knew when he was going to pray each time. In the morning, midday, in the afternoon, evening. And so we need to have some habits. Maybe you need to pray every morning is your time. Maybe before you even get out of bed. Maybe it's at lunchtime. Maybe it's in the afternoon. Maybe it's late at night when everyone's went to bed. But find some times where you're going to designate, I'm going to pray. And not only that, think about what you want to pray for. You know, great things you can organize is, the acts of prayer is always a good little acronym, you know. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. But beyond that,
focus certain times in your prayer life during those periods where maybe you just pray for the sick of our church. You pray for those who are shut in. You pray for some of our elderly members who deal with loneliness, and you're going to pray for them. Maybe you're going to pray for the leaders. Let me tell you something. Your church leaders here would appreciate some prayers. Your elders, your deacons, your ministers, we would appreciate that. Maybe the members, you're going to focus on members in our families and our congregation. Maybe you're going to, then another time you're going to focus on your family. Maybe you're going to focus on our nation, on our community. We need a lot of prayers and we need a lot of petitioning for our country and for our city on behalf of where we live. Maybe you want to focus then on also, of course, some personal things in your life. But mix it up and get organized, get focused. Write them down, some things you want to pray about and places and during the time of the day you want to pray in your prayer life. That'll help you. Don't just say, I want to pray more this year. You'll fail pretty quickly if you haven't already 4 days into the new year. Let me give you another goal. How about this one? Resolve to be with God's people every time they meet. You know the passage in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Sometimes it's called the preacher's verse. But apparently they had that problem in the first century, that there were some who were forsaking, who were neglecting the assembling of themselves together. And he says, you encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I was reading again on some of this stuff about resolutions and goal setting. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is, again, this same article, it said that you need to set these goals and you need to share these goals. Because it says, doing them in community is critical. Did you catch that? We need some accountability, some encouragement. We need to do things corporately. That sounds like church. That sounds like the community, the body of Christ. And so what you need to do is you need to resolve this year. I know there's times when we're sick and some of us have jobs and our work calls us away and some other things that may call us away. But you resolve this year that you're going to be here every time we meet. You're going to make that commitment. And that starts with our Bible class, our Sunday school. You talk about, again, exposing yourselves to the Word of God. That's a great opportunity. I never will I understand. I've been preaching now almost 16 years full time. I'll never understand the attendance board that says, 250 in worship, 150 in Bible class. I won't understand that. Maybe one of you can come up and explain that to me. But I don't understand why you would not want to come a little earlier, be a part of a small group, a Bible class, a fellowship time of sharing, praying, and exposure to the Word of God. Make that a resolution this year. Some of you need to do that. Some of you need to think about being here more. Bible class, when we're assembling, make that resolution. We're getting bombarded by the world every day. I mean, the world's just hammering us 24/7. Just a few extra hours getting away from the world, being exposed to the Word of God and with God's people can do a great thing for you in your spiritual life. Think about that, friend. Think about that. Be here every time God's people meet. Don't let anyone minimize. Don't you dare minimize the importance of when we gather together. Again, in 16 years, I've seen it. I have seen the correlation. When folks slowly start missing, usually Bible class, usually worship, Wednesday night, then eventually Sunday morning, they're just not here as often. I see it so often, the correlation between their spiritual life and their being here with God's people. You make that a priority in your life this year. Another resolution. How about this one? Resolve this year to spend some time every week in service to Jesus outside the assembly. Now you may think these last two points here are kind of contradicting each other, Robert. No, they're not. Now there are people who think, Christians who think, the entirety of our Christianity is just coming together a few hours. As important as I believe it is, I think it's critical, I think it's so vital to your spiritual life that you are here, you're regularly in the assembly of the church in worship and Bible study. Folks, that's just a few hours of our life. make a commitment this year that you're going to spend some time outside the assembly serving Jesus. You know, I love that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, where Paul is speaking about God bringing us to maturity. And he says that God has gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists there. And he says, for the equipping of the saints, that's you, for the works of service. God has given us those leaders in the church to encourage us, to help us be equipped to go out and serve. And so one of the things we need to think about is, what are some areas in my life? Where are some ways that I can serve Jesus this year in 2015? Let me give you some, it can be in some of the different ministries, maybe in the teaching ministry, maybe in the visitation ministry, maybe in outreach ministry, maybe in serving ministries. I don't know what it is, but find an area. Maybe even just say, I'm going to do 1 hour. 1 hour a week this year serving Jesus outside of the assembly. I don't know what area you could find, but think about that area. By the way, if you need to know about some areas, why don't you come and visit with me, Justin, any of our elders, Misty in the children's ministry. We can talk to you about some areas of service if you're wanting to know where you can be used. Think about that. Jesus said we let our light shine so that others can see our good deeds and glorify our Heavenly Father in heaven. Think about where you can serve, reaching out into this community. We have a group that meets every Tuesday in our food bank, the Oklahoma Food Bank here at our building. They could use workers, helpers, all kinds of areas that you could serve. 1 hour a week, make that commitment to serve, and pray that the Lord will open your eyes in areas and ways that you can serve. And then the last area, let me encourage you to think about involving yourself in trying to lead someone to Jesus. Notice I didn't say in leading someone, I said in trying to lead someone to Jesus. You see, there are circumstances beyond our control. But are you trying to influence someone for Christ? I love what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, that the mission of Jesus, really he says this is a trustworthy saying full of acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I'm chief. That was the mission of Jesus, to seek and save the lost. What's your mission in life? Well, again, I hope that trying to reach others, to influence others for the gospel, is a part of your mission. You know, one of the great things we have with that website, that's a great opportunity. That's a great open door. Come tomorrow morning at work, on your mobile device, whatever you want to do, Facebook, whatever, is to point that out to someone you work with. Say, hey, you know what? We're real excited at our church. We just launched a new website. It's got some cool things on there. I don't know if you go to church anywhere, if you have a church home, but I'd encourage you to check that out. What a great opportunity. Maybe just brag on it. Say how good it looks. Say, you know, our preacher is just so, well, okay, maybe our youth minister, you know, our children's minister. Boy, she's great. But find something. Brag on it. Talk up the church. Talk up the Lord. I was talking to one individual. He's a Christian. And he said, I thought this was a great resolution. He said, my challenge this year when it comes to outreach and evangelism is, he says, if I'm talking to someone who I've never met before and we go more than 5 minutes in the conversation, he says, after 5 minutes, I'm going to ask him or her about their spiritual life. I'm going to say, do you have a church home that you worship anywhere at? I'm going to try to work in the church, Jesus Christ, their spiritual life. I'm going to ask them how they're doing in their soul. Maybe they have prayers. You know, you'd be surprised. I've always been shocked over the years in ministry, when you'll be talking to someone, and we take it for granted so often. We'll say, you know, can we pray for you? Do you have any prayer requests? You'll be shocked and surprised to find how many people have really never had their name, their personal life, mentioned in a prayer. Pray for someone. Tell them you're praying for them. Better yet, pray with them. But find an opportunity to help lead someone to Jesus Christ. I love the passage in Mark 5 and verse 18 and 19. There's where Jesus heals that demoniac there in the Gerasenes, there on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in the Gentile territory. And that man, after Jesus has healed him and driven out the evil spirit, he's in his right mind. It says he wants to follow Jesus, but Jesus tells him this: go home to where you're from. Tell your family and your friends all the good things the Lord has done for you. That's evangelism. What Christ has done in my life. How about you talk about what He's meant in your life as a person? Maybe in your marriage. Maybe with your children. Maybe in your personal life. Share with others the good things God's done in your life. Give that testimony of what Christ has done for you in your life. And again, one of the best things you can do is just invite someone to come worship with you. Invite them to come eat lunch with you afterwards or whatever, but invite someone. Make that a goal this year that you're going to invite five people you know, maybe some friends, some coworkers, a neighbor. Just go on over there and invite them warmly, personally, to come worship with us, come with you sometime. And just be praying about that and be watching what the Lord can do in opening doors of opportunity. Oh, it was John's prayer for his friend Gaius that he would prosper, that he would be in good health, but especially even as his soul prospered. That's God's desire for you this morning. Most especially, above all things, that your soul is prospering spiritually in the Lord. Let's pray as we end this lesson. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for these few moments we've had to reflect on your goodness and the blessings that you've given us, Father. Father, we're thankful for another year of grace that we have found. Father, in this church, in our church family at Crosstown, we've had a lot of joy. We've had some heartache. Father, we live in a fallen world, and Father, we know that until that time when Jesus comes again, joy will always be mixed with sorrow and pain and suffering. But Father, we're thankful that you've given us another day of life, and that Father, if you delay Jesus' coming, Father, and grant us another day tomorrow, Father, we're thankful for this new opportunity, for this new year, Father, that we're looking at. And I pray, Father, that Father, many of us will set some goals in our personal life, in our health, in our finances, and with our family and our time. But Father, most especially, above all of those other goals, Father, I pray, Father, for our souls to prosper, that we think about setting some spiritual goals in our life for you. Father, help us to make some concrete steps, write them down, Father, to see what we can do for you to better ourselves this year in 2015. And Father, we ask for patience. We will need your mercy and your patience, Father, as we fall, as we stumble, Father, as we neglect these goals often, Father. But I pray that you'll give us strength and a resolve of mind and spirit that, Father, this year we're going to be better. We're going to do better for you in our walk with Jesus. Father, we're thankful for your grace and your mercy. We're thankful for the cross, Father, that allows us to have this hope and this redemption that's only found in your Son, Jesus. And it's in His blessed name we pray. Amen. Well, that journey begins with being in Christ, and if you're outside of Jesus this morning, we never want to close giving you the opportunity to come in obedience of faith, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins, to be willing to change your life, to repent, and to confess His sweet name, the name of Jesus, before others, and to be immersed, to be baptized into Christ, having your sins forgiven, to be raised up in a new life for the Lord. You can serve Him in that way this year if you haven't made that commitment. Maybe as a Christian, you need to make some resolutions. You need to make some changes. Maybe they're private changes, but maybe they involve a public response. This church family will walk with you and hold you up if you need to come and make some changes. If you have any need, come as we stand and sing now.